Today's reading is from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 29. The supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me, to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. So this morning, Kevin Clayton's going to be preaching. Kevin's part of our youth ministry, working with Jay, and he's in a process of discerning God's calling on his own life. So we thought it'd be good if Kevin could come and preach this morning. So if you come up, Kevin, I'll pray for you. So Father, we thank you for the call you put on Kev's life when he was a teenager, the journey that you've brought him on. Together you've brought him together in marriage to Charlotte. And at this time of looking at the next steps, we thank you that you've put on his heart the desire to speak your word, to open it up, and to help us all to be more in awe of you, Lord Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, come and put your words on Kevin's lips and energize them in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning. How are we doing? All awake? That's a no. If I could have my glorious assistant up the front, please. Brilliant. You're not precious about your hair, are you, Alfie?
Really?
You sure? Good, because I'm not sure this blanket's clean.
Thanks, mate.
That's much better for everyone. What's it like under there, Alfie?
It's really dark.
Dark. Anything else?
Wait, that blanket really isn't it? It was quite lonely and just no one can't see anything.
Okay. Dark, lonely, can't see anything. What's it like now?
Wonderful. Bright. You can see everyone.
It's light, you can see people.
Not on my own.
You're not on your own. Brilliant. Thanks, Alvin. Let's bear that in mind as we come to today's passage. As we do, or before we do, if you've got one of these, the old school, or one of these, can I encourage you to have Colossians open, because we're going to look at it together. As we begin, let me pose one question. What's so special about Jesus? What's so special about Jesus? Hopefully we're going to explore that today and we'll answer that together. We'll go through it and find an answer for ourselves. As we begin, let's delve in at verse 15. Now we can see here that Jesus shows us what God the Father is like. He is the very image of God. Now you've got your Bibles open. If you look down with me, the Son is the very image of the invisible God. There is very good reason why God is invisible. God said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for man may not see my face and live." So what do? We look to Jesus, who is fully man and fully God, to see what God the Father is like. Look down with me at verses 15 to 17. Jesus was there from the beginning. He is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus being the firstborn isn't about him being born first. It's a reference about being firstborn. Jesus has received the inheritance, the leadership, the sovereignty over all creation. As we read through verse 16, we see that in him, Jesus, and through him, Jesus, all things were created. And they were created for him. Let's flesh this out a little bit. By him, all things have been created. From the subatomic atom to the massive galaxies, the little baby birds chirping in their nests, to the people here today. All of these were created in and through and for Jesus. We're not just talking about the trees. We're not just talking about, oh, look at those pretty animals. All things, everything, me and you. All things in heaven and earth are held together by Christ's supreme authority. As we continue through verse 17, Jesus is before all things. So Jesus was there right at the very beginning. If you don't believe me, go to Genesis 1:27. Jesus was there before everything. Being before everything, Jesus has supremacy over all creation. Jesus has authority over all creation. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the body. We are his bride. We're in union with Christ. And so we lovingly submit to him as him as the head of the body. The left hand and the right foot, they may not have the same perspective as each other, but they both look to the head for direction. And why? So they can move in harmony together. Jesus has supremacy over the church. And as we read on, I'm not sure about you, but as I read on, my passion and my buzz inside is building as we start to see hope for us. As we read that Jesus is the beginning, in that he was before all things, in verse 17. And we see, for in him all things were created, verse 16. He is also the beginning, in that in his incarnation, him coming to earth as fully man and fully God, his death on the cross and resurrection is God's salvation plan. Let me say that again. His death and resurrection is God's salvation plan. As we read on, we read,
firstborn amongst the dead. Just a bit odd. Anyone else here think that's a bit odd? I'm not talking about Netflix or zombies or anything like that. It says Jesus is the firstborn among the dead. Jesus is firstborn among the dead. That ultimately, Jesus has supremacy over death. Jesus died, descended to the dead, defeated the evil one, to be risen again. Not risen as he'd risen others, but to be risen with a resurrected body. Jesus was risen with a resurrection body. He was the first, giving me, giving you a certain hope. When reading through the passage, a bit of a geeky bit here, but when reading through the passage, verse 15 to 20, seven times we see repetition of all things. In some versions it will mix this up with everything and all creation, but it's all things. Seven's a biblical number for completeness, for fullness. So we can be reassured here that Jesus isn't just supreme, he's fully supreme. He has complete supremacy over all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get really pumped as I'm reading through, where my excitement starts to really peak. Jesus reconciled all things to God through his death on the cross. Jesus reconciled all things to God through his death on the cross and resurrection. All things. This is including everything in creation. Romans 8:21. We read that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. I've mentioned the word reconcile a few times. What does it actually mean? To reconcile or to be reconciled is to bring back together, to renew that relationship. So, to be reconciled, to have a relationship with God, a renewed relationship with God. Because we read, once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in our minds because of your evil behaviour. We were once alienated from God because of our very nature being descendants of Adam. In that very nature, being born with a spoiled relationship with God. All due to the fall. And we are enemies with God due to our evil behaviour. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our sin. What is it that's at the heart of our sin that ruins and spoils our relationship with God? It's when I say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your good ways. Let me say that again. It's an SIN problem. Shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your good ways. If we have a spoiled, non-existent relationship with God, where does that leave us? We'll see later in Colossians, we're told to put to death, to stop whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And it goes on to give examples of what these things may be. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. So, if we're not accepting of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, Jesus took the wrath for us. He took the punishment we deserve. If we do not repent of our sins, turn to Jesus and invest in the relationship with God, we're told we will be the objects of God's just anger, God's wrath. I'm not going to leave you there. Thankfully, however, if we read on, verse 22. Jesus doesn't leave us in this place without hope. Jesus, being fully man, fully God, died the horrendous death on the cross, descended to the depths to defeat the evil one, to defeat death, arose again with a resurrection body, a resurrected body. And we read in Mark that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. and in doing so has reconciled us to God. He's restored our relationship with God, presenting us holy, without blemish, free from accusation. You might read those and go, well, they're just biblical words. They're just godly talk. Well, what to be holy is to be set apart from the world in an abiding relationship with God, so that we become more like God and less like the world around us. We're in the world, but not a part of the world. Our holiness is not something we obtain through self-spiritual discipline. We're sinners. But Christ's sacrifice on the cross relieves us of our guilt, makes us holy in God's eyes, sinless and upright, without blemish. Part of that is looking back to when the Jewish people under the law would have to sacrifice animals. And they couldn't just go, oh, this one's sick, it's going to die anyway. Or this one's lame, it's no good. They had to give the best of the best for sacrifice. So Jesus presents you as the best of the best and set apart. Not only that, but he presents you free from accusation or blameless in the eyes of God. I will add, this is nothing that I've done, nothing that you can do, nothing we can continue doing. This is something Jesus has done for you. If I go to God on my own, without Jesus, if I go to God without Jesus, I'm not perfect. I have blemishes. No. Jesus presents me to God as perfect. Jesus presents me to God perfect, free from accusation, without a blemish, and holy. But why did Jesus have to die? Couldn't God just click his fingers and it would all be okay? Well, yeah. Yeah, he could have. He's God. However, if your child or a child runs out into the road or does something that is dangerous, do you not scold them from a place of love? Do you not tell them off from a place of love? If you see injustice in the world, are you not angered and enraged? Do you not want to see justice done? I suggest to you three reasons Jesus had to die. Firstly, so that he can relate to you and I when going through the pain of death. Secondly, we read in verses 13 and 14 of Colossians, just before this section here. He rescues us from the dominion of darkness under the blanket and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. The price had to be paid. God is a just and loving God. Thirdly, to descend to the dead, to defeat the evil one, the devil, and to be raised from the dead with a resurrection body, so he becomes the firstborn of the dead, giving Jesus the supremacy over death. If we say yes to Jesus, he's already said yes to us. Jesus made the ultimate substitution. He's no Ronaldo, he's better. And if we read on, we see Paul writes, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, then you will be presented holy, without blemish and free from accusation. Presented holy, perfect and blameless to God. We're called to continue in our faithfulness. Our restored relationship will not continue to be, let alone grow, if we do not continue to hold firm and live accordingly to the gospel truth that we've heard. If we have a one-off experience of God, oh, that was amazing, and do nothing in the light of it, our relationship will die out. I had friends at school, university, we were like this. Now, men being men, we're not quite as good at the keeping in touch thing as maybe the girls are in the room. But we were like this. If I walked past them now, in Romford, I would not even recognise them. Because we did not invest in that relationship. That relationship has dwindled and died out. Friends, do not let that happen with your relationship with God. Do not let that relationship dwindle. Invest in it. If a tree is well established, it has strong roots. Strong roots going deep into the ground. And it is hard to shake that tree. This is how we're to be with Jesus. This is how we're to be with God. Well rooted in him, in his word. Standing firm and holding tightly to the hope we have in Jesus. We do see that Paul is rejoicing in this passage. He's rejoicing in his suffering. He's holding firm to the gospel truth. He is suffering for what he's doing, spreading the gospel. Don't be mistaken. Paul in his writing here is not saying that in any way there's any deficiency in the atoning sacrifice for sin that was undertaken on the cross. Paul's not adding to it. Paul is preaching the good news of the atonement for sin. Atonement's a big word, just means making amends for a wrong. Paul, if we read on, what is the mystery Paul is talking about? For the whole of the Old Testament, the mystery and wonders of God were revealed to a select few and kept hidden from everyone else. However, this mystery is now made known to me, to Tim, to you, to my wife. The mysteries and wonders can be enjoyed by all. The mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God chose the Jews to be his people from the time of Abraham. But he kept that little secret that one day he would open the doors of the church to everyone. He would open the door to the Gentiles. That is what constitutes a mystery, a spiritual knowledge kept secret for a time and then revealed by God. Jesus is the name we proclaim. Christ died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We're called to speak the gospel of Jesus to people. With an urgency, like it's life and death. Because eternally, it is. We're to teach everyone the wisdom of the cross. Meaning we are to teach the cross and what the Bible says is right by Jesus. We read in Psalms that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. As we look down at verse 28, there's a repetition enforcing the fact that this is for everyone. That everyone is welcome in the kingdom of the Lord. So, we're to speak the gospel to everyone. I can't pick and choose. The good news of Jesus is an urgent news. People need to hear. This is life and death. So, the question I asked at the beginning, what's so special about Jesus? In the first section of the passage, we can see that Jesus reconciled all things to himself, that God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. In him all things hold together. He is before all things. All things have been created through him. In him all things were created. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. I've got seven fingers, I think. Yeah? Why is it important to see that Jesus is all of this and we can count them seven times? We're told in the passage, look down with me at verse 18. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. If we stop, look and think, and just look at Jesus being supreme, having all the authority over everything, all the supremacy, how big, how powerful, and yet went to the cross for us. Should we not be in awe of Jesus? This is the gospel truth which our faith is built on. I urge you, as Paul does, to turn away from telling God to shove off. I'm in charge, no to your good ways. I urge you to repent to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. I urge you to speak with Jesus. He's there. Speak to him now. I won't mind. Close your eyes. You're not asleep, you're praying. Start a fresh and renewed relationship with God. Speak to him now. He's here. Open your Bible. Hear from him through his word. Jesus reconciled you to God. If you say yes to Jesus, if you say yes to a renewed relationship with God, Jesus has done all of the work of reconciliation upon the cross. He has taken the wrath we deserve. God has already said yes to you. What love we've been shown. What love to take our place. What love that Jesus, who in his very nature God, having supremacy over all creation, stepped in, took the punishment I deserve, so that I can have a restored relationship, a renewed relationship with God, triune, relational God. They're not all here this morning. But I'm sure they'll tell you that when I was 14 was a long time ago, the youth. I was 14 when I first accepted Jesus into my life. And what an amazing and I'm thankful time for the people around me. But Paul has told me, the Lord has told me, encouraged me through his word, to keep going, to stand firm in Jesus. Look down with me at verse 23. We read, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Established and firm. To be established and firm in Jesus. How do we do this? We invest in a relationship with him, with Jesus as Lord. We speak with him in prayer. We hear from him through his word, spirit and living word, the Bible. And we live in the light, not in the darkness. What is it that we're not moving from? What is this hope? The truth that we first heard when we invited Jesus into our lives. We have to cling to the truth that Jesus loves us and loves us so much, he took our place on that cross. He took our punishment so we can have certain hope in heaven. Whatever is thrown at us by the evil one in this life, whatever hardships or upsets we experience, don't allow this to loosen our grip on Jesus. To loosen our grip on that truth. The truth that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Because that same Christ has supremacy over all things. Christ has supremacy over death and the evil one. Cling firm. Remain in the light. Don't be tempted by the dominion of darkness. Don't go back under the blanket. It was dark. ask again, after all we've seen and heard in here. What is so special about Jesus?